Genesis chapter 38. Did I say 38 when I meant 28? You know I meant 28. And this is the story of Jacob. We haven't got time to go the whole story, but I expect many of you know the story of Jacob from Sunday school, perhaps, or you've heard it over the years. And this is the occasion where he was sent from his home for his own safety. He was like a fugitive, if you like. And he was on his way away from his brother Esau, who he had wronged. And in fact, he ultimately went on his way to find a wife as well. So he definitely needed an intervention of God. And this is what we see here. So Genesis 28, reading from verse 10. So Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to the heavens, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will be spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. And will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and sat it upon a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give my food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And may the Lord help us to understand that afresh this morning. Just turn with me to the New Testament, to Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1. I'm not sure what the page number is in the church Bible. If you've got that and you're there first, good on you. If you can shout out the page number 1168. Thank you, Malcolm. And this is Galatians chapter 1, reading from verse 11. Just a few verses here. Again, Paul writing, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. We'll just leave it there for the moment. Now, many of you have never heard of Nathan Hales until this past week or so. Nathan Hales was in the shooting event at the Olympic Games in Paris. Apparently it's called a men's trap shooting. I have no idea what that means, but he won a gold medal for his efforts. And in an interview after this an event which no one had won since 1968, so it's quite an achievement, he said, "It's like a dream come true." And it got me thinking about this, whether he actually had a dream of winning the gold or not. There are those that say they have some indication that they're going to achieve something, and they achieve it, but I think it was more likely he didn't have a dream. This was just an expression of how he felt, the euphoria of receiving a gold medal at the Olympics. But here we read of a man who had quite an incredible dream, and that is Jacob. And we talk about Jacob's ladder, but of course it was a stairway that he saw in this dream. And the angels were coming up and down, and it was something that he'd never expected and never had before. You see, the story of Jacob is typical of human behavior, dare I say. There was deceit in the family, as we know. There was foolish credulity. There was murderous vindictiveness. There was all sorts of things that human nature gets up to, even now, in his family. He wasn't a very pleasant person. In fact, he was known as a supplanter. He wasn't a pleasant sort of person. And yet we see in this account that despite all that was happening, God had a plan for this man's life even before he was born. We know, as the scripture says, that the older will serve the younger, which is the opposite way round to the normal way things were. But nothing thwarted God's plan, nothing endangered it, nothing could change what God had in mind. And of course, out of Jacob, we see the nation of Israel develop, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And I still believe that that is the case today. But this man that didn't deserve to get anything from God came under the real blessing of God. And that's just something I want us to think about this morning. What does it mean to us when we read this story? When we think of that Olympian, Nathan Hales, he pursued a dream. He really worked hard for it. He must have trained for hours every day just for those moments of winning the gold medal. But Jacob's dream came from no effort of his own at all. In a sense, he left home and found God. That's a story in itself. There was no effort on this man. He was still the supplanter. He was still somebody that was running away from his brother because of what he had done. And yet, you see, God chose that moment to speak into his life. You see, he was a fugitive. He was away from home. You know, he's away from everything that was familiar to him. He was in a place that he never really expected. And it just reminds me of the grace of God here. Something of God we see here that we can easily miss. When God, who set me apart from birth, says Paul, and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. We read that in Galatians, that he was a blasphemer. He was against everything of those that walked in the way. And he did everything in his murderous threats to try to wipe out what God was doing. Yet God called him at a moment that God chose. You see, this stairway, quite different to what we have here, this stairway was something that he would have recognized, because there was an old ancient myth where the gods would go up and down on this ladder, and you sort of have to climb up to it somehow to receive from God. But the word actually that says that the Lord God came to him, or the Lord stood and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham. In fact, the interpretation is the Lord stood beside him. The Lord stood beside him at this moment of time. He was not in any shape to find God. He wasn't in the right place. He hadn't got religion. He hadn't seen the light. He wasn't somebody you could call holy. He wasn't somebody who was perfect. So often, I think people today say, well, but I'm not religious. I'm not good enough. I don't think I'd come to church. I would feel guilty because of who I am. But you know, I believe that God is even now speaking to people that never thought that they would hear from God. We hear of stories where Muslims are having a vision of Christ, and how people over the years have turned to Christ at a time where they never expected. Their weakest moment, their most ungodly moment, God appeared to them. Such is God's grace. Such is God's purpose. I love what we read of Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, we read in John chapter 1. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That Jesus came to where we are. John says in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. And so my question this morning is, what is your dream? But it may well be that you've had dreams and those dreams have been shattered. Whether they've been dreams you've had or expectations you've had for your own life and those around you. Maybe age now, you're looking back at dreams that you accomplished in the past. But maybe for the moment you've stopped dreaming. Maybe like Jacob, although you've journeyed with the Lord over many years, that you find yourself psychologically, spiritually, physically in an unfamiliar place. This isn't what I planned for. This isn't something I dreamt of. But what this teaches us, friends, is that God is where we are. God is with us, even now. That is an amazing fact. You know, we're standing on holy ground. There was something on Premier Radio this morning, I was listening to it, and it was a fellow speaking from the year, I think, 2007, about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the threefold Trinity of God. He is a person. And he comes, he is the paraclete, he's the comforter, he's the one to show us Jesus. And the Bible says not to put out the Spirit's fire. We need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see Jesus in the Spirit. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's brilliant teaching I heard this morning on Christian radio. But God is where you are. And as we ask the Holy Spirit, even in the darkest moment, to fill our minds with the presence of Jesus and the person of Jesus, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's come to do. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." And that's not a dream, that's reality, friends. And that's the God who was with us today. You see, when we look at the life of Jacob, God made these wonderful promises to him, but he had to learn from that point on to really honour God. He had to learn to trust God when he met his brother. And this man started praying before he met his brother. He wrestled with God as a man that was transformed because he had the experience of God. He was chosen by God even before he was born. Is it a thought that we can have this morning, friends, that God has chosen you personally? He set his seal of ownership upon you that you should be called a child of God. You see, we didn't choose him, but he chose us. Now, if we were to look around at one another and think, "Well, my goodness me, not me. Not in my frail state, not in my sinful state, not what I've done." But God has chosen you by name to bear fruit and fruit that will last. What does that mean? Well, it might be more praying more for the mission of Lidbrook. Maybe it's not doing anything but just relying on God in situations that you're finding difficult, to know that God is working a purpose out even though you don't see it in your mind's eye. What the promise is, and we look back to the days of Jacob and others, and we see a pattern that God chooses people and he uses them for his glory. Now, it may be today you're saying, "Well, opportunities came my way and I let them slip." But God gives us further opportunities. There's no other time like the present. That's all we have. And so I would say, like Jacob, for all that Jacob became, like Paul, like all the disciples, they were unschooled, ordinary people, but they'd been with Jesus and they turned the world upside down. Are we enough for God? Of course we are. Am I good enough for God? Yes, you are, because Christ has made you good enough. All you need to do is say, "Lord, my hands are open. Here am I, wholly available. I'm here for you." Somebody once said that God will meet you where you are, but he won't keep you there. Maybe our hands are full of all sorts of things this morning. Let's lay them down and say, "Lord, here I am. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." And the Bible says, as Jacob celebrated the covenant blessing upon him, that blessing, that covenant blessing, is forever. What God has done for you will last for eternity. Amen.